I'd like to tell you a story, maybe one that's familiar to many of you. Once upon a time, there was a young boy named Jack. And Jack lived alone with his mom, who was a widow. And the only source of income that they had was a dairy cow. So this cow would give milk, and they would sell the milk, and they would eke by, just making barely enough to survive, to have enough food. But eventually, this dairy cow stopped giving milk. And so they didn't know what they were going to do. They had no other way to earn any money. They decided to take the cow to the market and try to sell it and make a little bit of money for the meat and live off of that for as long as they could. And so the mom asked Jack to take the cow, to go to the market and get as much money as he possibly could for this cow. So Jack grabs the cow, ties the rope, and starts walking down the path towards the town, towards the village, towards the market. And on his way, he bumps into a stranger, an eccentric old man. And the man strikes up a conversation and is interested in this cow and maybe purchasing it, but the man doesn't have any money. Instead, he just has what he calls magic beans. And Jack is taken by the idea of magic beans. I mean, what could be better than magic beans when you're a young boy? And so he decides to sell the cow to this man for 3 magic beans. And Jack is all excited. He thinks he's done this wonderful thing. He's got these magic beans. Who knows what kind of magic they might have? And so he goes home and he's excited to tell his mother. And he says, "Mom, guess what I got?" She's like, did you sell it for $300? "No, Mom, for 3 magic beans." And the mom is terribly disappointed. She's angry. She's distraught. This only source of income that they had to last them at least a little while is gone for 3 magic beans. She's angry at Jack. She's frustrated at the situation. She's so disappointed. She takes the beans from Jack and she throws them out the window, just discarding them because, magic beans, what is that? Just some tale that this guy had told. And she sends her son Jack to bed without any dinner. But something magic does happen. Overnight, the seeds grow from the ground into a giant beanstalk. And in the morning, Jack climbs up this beanstalk and finds a house with a giant, and eventually he gets a whole bunch of gold and a goose that lays golden eggs and a magic harp, and they are set for the rest of their life. In this fable, in this tall tale, things seem at their worst. All hope is lost. These beans are discarded like they are trash and have no meaning. And yet something amazing and wonderful and good springs forth from them. Let me tell you another story that also might be familiar. Once upon a time, a long time ago, there was a queen. And this queen longed to have children. And one day this queen was sewing, she was spinning, and she pricked her finger. And it was winter, and so 3 drops of blood fell out off of her finger, out the window, and onto the ground below, onto the pure white snow that was there. And as they did, this queen made a wish that she would have a daughter whose skin was as beautiful and white as the snow and whose lips were as red as the blood that fell from her hand. And soon the queen became pregnant and gave birth to a young girl that she named Snow White. But the queen would also die. And so Snow White's father, the king, would marry again. And this woman that he married was evil, the stepmother, and she had a magic mirror. And she was obsessed with being the most beautiful person in all the land. And every day she would take out her mirror and she would say, "Mirror, mirror, in my hand, who is the most beautiful in the land?" And every day the mirror would say, "Well, you, my queen, are the most beautiful." But eventually, as Snow White grew older and grew more and more beautiful, one day the queen said, "Mirror, mirror, in my hand, who is the most beautiful in the land?" And the mirror gave a different answer. The mirror told the queen that Snow White was now the most beautiful in the land. The queen was furious. She was angry. She set off in a fit of rage and wanted to get rid of Snow White at any cost. And so she hired a huntsman to hunt Snow White down and to kill her. So the huntsman takes the money and he goes in search of Snow White and he finds her and he's ready to kill this young girl, but he just can't do it. His heart is moved with compassion. He is a decent and good fellow. And so he decides to let her go, to send her off into the wilderness, into the woods by herself, hoping that she might survive, because there's no way he could kill someone so innocent and so beautiful. And so Snow White wanders through the woods and happens upon this cottage, this house, and there are 7 dwarves who live in the house. And they take her in and care for her, adopt her as part of their family. The queen thinks that her problem is solved, but when she goes back to her mirror and asks it once again, "Mirror, mirror, in my hand, who's the fairest in all the land?" The mirror tells her that her plot has not worked, and that Snow White is still alive and still more beautiful than the queen. So the queen tries all these different things and eventually is able to disguise herself and go to Snow White and offer her an apple that is poisoned. And Snow White accepts the apple and she takes a bite of it and then falls down dead on the spot because of the poison. The dwarves come back from the work they've been doing and they find her dead and they are once again struck by her beauty, so much so that they can't bear to bury her in the ground, and so they create a glass coffin so that all might be able to see her beauty, even in death. Sometime later, a prince comes, and as he looks on Snow White's body, he too is moved by her beauty, and he kind of bumps up against the coffin, and the piece of the poison apple falls from her mouth, and she is revived. She is alive again, and together they get rid of the evil queen. In this story, in this fable, in this fairy tale, it seems like all is lost, like death has brought all the goodness in the world to an end, and then something new springs up. Life happens once again. Let me tell you one more story. You're probably anticipating this one. Once upon a time, in a land far away, about 2,000 years ago, in a land called Israel, there was a young boy born named Jesus. And there were all these mysterious and controversial circumstances surrounding his birth, so much so that his family had to flee from Israel and go to Egypt just to survive and to live. But eventually they would return home and Jesus would grow up and he would become a rabbi and a healer. And he wandered around in Israel and he called people into himself to be his disciples, to learn from him, that he might teach them the ways of life and of love. And people would come from miles around, from all the villages, and they would gather to listen to this man talk and to teach, to tell his stories and to tell his parables, so much so that thousands would gather at a time to listen to him for hours and even days on end. This man Jesus could also perform miracles, and so people would come from all around to be healed, to be made well. One time there was this woman who'd been suffering for years and years, and she fought through the crowd to find Jesus and just reached out and grabbed the edge of his garment and was healed on the spot. Another time, Jesus was in a house teaching to other people, and some friends brought their friend who was paralyzed. And they couldn't even get in the house. It was so crowded. So many people were there. And so they climbed up onto the roof and they tore a hole in the roof and they lowered their friend who was paralyzed down into the house. And Jesus touched him and made him well. It seemed like everybody wanted a piece of this Jesus. Even those who were in charge, who had power, the authorities of the day wanted a piece of Jesus. But not in the same way as the other folks. They felt threatened by this Jesus. He was teaching things that were out of step with what they thought and what they were teaching. He was teaching things that might cause the people to rise up and to live in a different way. He was performing miracles that they had no idea how he was doing. And so they wanted to get rid of this Jesus. They questioned him at every turn. They asked him the most difficult questions they could come up with, and he always had a great response. And so they sought to have Jesus arrested, killed, done away with. Eventually, they were able to convince one of his followers, one of his 12 closest friends, to betray him. And they whipped up a frenzy in the crowd, and they got the crowd to turn against Jesus. And so Jesus was convicted and sentenced to death. And so on Friday, we remembered the crucifixion of Jesus. But that's not the end of this story either. For on Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. The women came to his tomb, and the stone that was there blocking it was already rolled away, and it was empty. He wasn't there anymore. In fact, there was an angel inside who told them that he is alive. He's not dead. He's not here anymore. He's alive. Just like those other stories, it seemed like all was lost. And yet hope and life and goodness springs up in the midst of death and despair. On Easter Sunday especially, people begin to wonder and to ask about this story. About God raising someone from the dead. Is it real? Is it possible that this really happened? That's not a thing, right? People don't come back from the dead. Maybe this is just a story. Maybe you have those same kinds of questions and doubts. My faith has brought me to the place where I believe that this actually literally happened. But even if you don't, that's okay. I don't believe that Jack and the Beanstalk actually happened. I don't believe that Snow White happened. And yet there are lessons that we can learn from these stories, truths that speak to us here and now. And this story of Jesus' resurrection, it teaches us a lesson. It speaks truth into our lives. It tells us about the way of things in the world, that those who are oppressed will rise up against the oppressors, that the darkness of night will lead to the light of day, that the death and cold of winter will give way to the light and life of spring, that even death will give way to life. Resurrection is about new life. It's about how God takes those things that are terrible and tragic in our life and turns them around and makes something new and good and beautiful. And I would venture to say that all of us have experienced those times of darkness, of death, of despair. We all have experienced loss and disappointment. And we also have all come out on the other side. We all have experienced new life and hope and light and goodness and beauty in the world. Friends, the message of Easter is that death does not have the final word. That God's goodness and light and life always are stronger and have the final word. I'm reminded of the women who came to the tomb and how they responded. They looked inside, and the angel told them that Jesus was alive and that they shouldn't be afraid and that they should go and tell the disciples But what does Mark say that they did? They were afraid, and they told nobody. That's often how we respond in those situations, isn't it? We shut down, and we're afraid. But the women didn't stay in that place, because we've heard their story. They must have told somebody. The other Gospels tell us that, in fact, they did, and that some of the disciples came and saw the empty tomb for themselves, and that then Jesus appeared to other people after his resurrection. So may we learn a lesson from these women, that it's okay to shut down, to be shocked, to not be quite sure how to respond to these situations. That when new life happens, it is a shock sometimes. And it's okay to take a moment to realize what's happening and to recover, but not to stay in that place of fear and silence. To move to a place of hope and of joy and of sharing that with other people. Not to keep our resurrection stories to ourselves, but to share them with the world. So friends, may we remember the times that we have experienced new life, when God has brought hope out of despair, when we have seen light in the midst of darkness. And may we share that with others and celebrate together. And friends, may the next time that we experience those hard times, those times of darkness, those times when we're not sure that we can take another step, those times when we just don't believe that something better is possible, may we remember the story of the resurrection. May we know that with God all things are possible. May we know that the way of things in the world is for life to come out of death, for light to always follow darkness. May we have hope. May we have joy. And may we have peace. Amen.